Good evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, July 22nd, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, Michelob Ultra, and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa Bay, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Check us out on Spotify on the part of the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined shortly by my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharp's content-packed hour ahead for the patrons there as we take you to the 8 o'clock hour there as we look back on the 153rd Open Championship. Might as well, I think we all know a guy that we're thinking about there. Heck of a tournament. Hopefully you got your sleep in. Now we're back on the stateside. Looking forward to talking that. Obviously, looking at that was the final major. We'll have to give a hat tip there. Pour one out here at Ferg's for the major championship season there. Also started talking about Ryder Cup. We got some standings. Who's in the mix for that as we look forward to that coming up later this fall as well. And then, obviously, we got FedEx Cup playoffs and all that. And then, obviously, we're looking forward to heading up the golfers this week, or heading up to Skoal Nation, as I call it there. The great state of Minnesota hosting the 3M Open. Kicks off Thursday. Looking forward to that event. Not the main greatest field, but as you know, me and Sammy Full break it down for you, give you your best chance to having a bet there as well. Also, stick around. We got the MLB Bet of the Night. Looking forward to that. Me and Sammy have got one circled on the diamond there. Also, Sammy has got some tidbits for the patrons. Looking forward to the gridiron, not only in college football. Obviously, Knowles kicking off against Bama. A lot of good season stuff there. I think Sammy's got some stuff for Roll Tide there. And then also looking at NFL as well, as it was the first day of camp. If you didn't check out Baker Mayfield taking in a lunchbox there, looking forward to that. So while I get Sammy on the Clubhouse line there, want everybody to head on over to www.thebetterclubhouse.com, B-E-T-T-O-R. If it's your first time there, sign up for our weekly newsletters free of charge of there. You can get it on Mondays. If you like what you see there from our patio preview and early models, feel free to sign up for our membership there, get you the full content there. Check out some of the old ones that we've done there to give you a little glimpse into that. We give you three weekly newsletters, patio preview, player deep dives, and then tomorrow we'll hit you with the final bets and models. We got about 18 guys circled on the player deep dive. We'll talk about them here. Probably not all of them there, but that newsletter will be sent out right after the show. But our newsletters have plenty of insights, stats, models, tidbits to help you plan for the week. Looking forward to it. Obviously, this week is a track that has been in the rotation there. We got another great one next week right in Sammy's backyard up there in Greensboro. I don't know if it's backyard. This is more like a neighbor's yard with Sammy being up there in Charlotte. But really looking forward to that. That's www.thebetterclubhouse.com, B-E-T-T-O-R. And also check us out on all the socials. We're up on X, Instagram, and Threads as well. So without further ado, now I have on the line, on the Clubhouse line, is Sammy. How are we feeling after a week off? I know we put us both through the ringer there, four tournaments in 2 weeks. And then we obviously 153rd Open Championship there. How are we doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing well. It didn't feel like too much of a week off because the newsletter, and it was major week and with an alternate event. But I will tell you, I'm glad there's only one tournament this week, and I'm glad I don't have to wake up at 4 o'clock to check my phone to see what's going on in the early race.
Yeah, that's 2:30. That's 2:30 tee time, especially. I mean, I think fondly of those days. Now I don't, because I don't have kids or toddlers or babies I have to feed at that hour, but that's one of the best sweats. Is if you're looking for a good golf sweat early on, before anybody's awake, DP World Tour action when they're over there in Europe or playing over there in just a different tee time is always fun for a nice early sweat to start your day. But, yeah, it can be brutal, especially if you're locked in from 3 a.m. To 3 p.m., like I know Scotty is. And then you add on the Barracuda that I know probably was far off the radar for you, Sammy, there. But another betting favorite wins that event in Ryan Gerard of UNC Tar Heel there. Add a nice sweat in that one as well. So, but, yeah, I think looking forward to it. Obviously, still in the dog days of summer here. Plenty of baseball action. Anything from the week as we close in July, that just from a outlook perspective for you, that you're looking to really dive in these last 2 weeks of July here?
So the F1 Grand Prix returns next week, I think, so I'll be paying attention to that. I think they're somewhere in France or somewhere in or Belgium or something like that. So I'll have to definitely look into that. But just getting started with college football deep dives. I'm doing the SEC and the ACC previews for PicksWise, and then a couple articles like national title winner, win totals, and just to make the playoffs. So I'm going to be busy for August, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to like sweat and research a different sport after grinding the golf for so long. I will say the early morning sweats, especially in the fall, you get F1 through the fall, but you also get Premier League soccer on Saturdays and Sundays. So there'll be sweats galore coming pretty soon. Just take it easy these few weeks of the last few weeks here of summer, and then we get preseason football and we're off to the races.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even next week is a good sweat, especially for first round leaders, if that sort of thing, being still on the East Coast. This one's more, I believe, central time, so you still get little bit of sleep in. But next week, obviously, how close is Greensboro to you? Have you ever been to the Wyndham Championship next week since you're up there in Charlotte?
I think I'm about 2 hours from Greensboro. I've been to Greensboro before, but I have not been to the Wyndham.
Okay. Yeah, so we have that.
Definitely something I would look into.
Yeah, for sure. I think I know some people in the community that are heading up that way. Definitely a fun tournament to bet and be there as well. And obviously that's the last stop before we get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, right, with St. Jude up there going to Caves Valley for BMW. And obviously the Tour Championship this year resetting back to even with everybody starting at even par.
Love that.
So plenty of tournaments to look forward to. Sammy, as we just look back, obviously Barracuda there had a little bit of a sweat there with Patrick Fishburne. My fate of the week prior at ISCO, didn't right there. Our fades continue. If there's nothing else from the Better Clubhouse that to go in is find our fades of the week. We'll obviously give those probably at the bottom of the hour here of who not to be putting your money on. We're 100% success rate there. If we miss on that, hit us up on socials. I'll give you a couple months free on the subscription there as confident in our picks there. But looking at that, Ryan Gerard, I think Rico Hoey was up there, a name that will probably pop in a lot of models this week for 3M.
Yep.
Definitely a birdie guy, but definitely struggled on Sunday and that sort of thing. But good to see Ryan Gerard up there, betting favorite, ho-hum. But, I mean, 22-1 betting favorite, we got to like those numbers. Compared to that to what happened over in Royal Port Rush, obviously 153rd Open, a guy named Scotty Scheffler up there. If you haven't read my insight into my player deep dive on Scotty, it's probably one of my best ones that I've put together so far, obviously in a sarcastic tone. But go out and read it. I told you that you were burning money if that was your only bet for the week. And, yeah, I mean, what else can we say about the guy? I think the press conference kind of threw everybody off to say, is this guy care about golf? What's his is? And then he was just dumbfounded after Thursday being like, I don't know who listened to that. And obviously nobody and what people are talking about, but he just went off on a tangent there. Still one of the best press conferences. That's probably the best one of the year right there.
I think he's just a simple dude and says how he feels and doesn't mean for it to be, like, read into like the media likes to do. I mean, Tiger was once in a million, you know, like Tiger was like an MJ type guy where he eat, breathed and slept golf. And like, I could see Scotty being of the nature of like a Kevin Durant, LeBron, where they are really good at what they do, but off the field, they don't want to be known as just an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you, for those that didn't listen to that press conference, he's like, we do all these things for the win a tournament, and then it's gone after 2 or 3 hours there, and it's not going to fulfill me.
He said minutes.
Yeah, even minutes. I'm even giving him more credit than that there. But I think that once he sees his wife and obviously baby Bennett there, that's his focus. And I think it just shows that intentional focus for that drive of Scotty to be in there, even to blow off even the media coming after that first round, be like, Scotty, what's wrong with you? You only hit 3 fairways. And he's like, hold on a minute. I hit it exactly where I wanted to, and it just happened to roll out. I think that showed a lot there, obviously. But, yeah, I think this guy is – I've mentioned it before. I even mentioned it on our Thursday show and on the T Florida Golf there, was just like – Scotty is a different breed there. I'm glad that he uses his superpowers for good. I think this guy could be a serial killer just as far as the he's so good at golf. He makes it boring. Obviously, all the stats there, 111 under par in majors. It just is crazy stats there. Obviously, I mentioned, like, on the Thursday show, I mentioned that he's actually better this year than he was last year when he was winning everything. He just happened to cut his hand on a wine glass there. But, yeah. Obviously, betting Scottie Scheffler, it's easy game when you top up there. Couple other names, obviously, Matt Fitzpatrick, I'll throw in the Mets there. That was one of my bets during Thursday Live there that I had on him. Looked good. Obviously, first round shared the lead. Second round was right there. Third round right there. Slipped a bit in the third round. Couldn't catch up. Fourth round there. I knew once Scottie kind of put in overdrive there on Saturday, it kind of showed the way, and even the media there. And also a shout out to my Terrell Hatton pick there. Looked the part. Didn't get too mad on the course. Was happy there. And also a shout out to you, Sammy, for your Bobby Mack and Hideki Matsuyama picks there as well. Hideki cashing that top 20 there up for the patrons there.
That was a nice payout, yeah.
For sure. Anything else from the week kind of? I think a big shout out to you for your Bryson DeChambeau fade there. Obviously, round one. He kind of brought
it
back.
He got hot.
He got hot a lot, yeah. And mentioned with Hotel Wyndham Clark there as well. A key thing to note there is guys that had strong, and this is something to write down for the patrons and for yourself, Sammy, I think, for future, is any guys with big spin rates, especially left to right ball flights, right to left, anytime they play in the wind, they're going to struggle, I think, because you got to calculate that wind and that sort of thing as well. I don't think we'll see that this week. I don't even think we'll probably see it the rest of the schedule, but anytime we see that wind kick up, especially in our models, and we think that's going to factor on coastal courses especially, probably need to factor that in. It's just something that I have in a notebook there. Any key takeaways from you, Sammy, on the 153rd Open?
I don't think it's a coincidence that Bryson and Wyndham made their moves in the final three rounds when the wind was historically down for what the U.S. Open, or what the Open usually presents. So, I mean, read into that what you will, but I'm still not running to the window to bet Bryson at 20-1 or sub 20-1 on a links course yet. But I also thought that about Scottie. In hindsight, whenever Scottie's 5-1 or better, he should just be looked at for a bet as a single barrel that week. Interestingly enough, our buddy Rick Gaiman with CBS, since 1999, the top seasons overall, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them are owned by Tiger, but then Scottie is 8th, and then Scottie is 9th. This year is the 8th, last year is the 9th, and then 2023, oh, don't forget, it's still like a top 25, 2.17 strokes better than the field. So he's a machine. The only thing stopping him is his family, I guess. Does he get bored if he wins the U.S. Open next year and retire in 5 years and we don't really get a sustained decade run of Scottie? Is this just a blip on the radar? Like, what do you feel about that?
I'll let you know what I'm going to think about that. But I actually got a hot take here. But first, okay, I'm going to let everybody know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Furry Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field. Old gray lady with her top off right now, getting a little suntan in the summer there. Downtown St. Pete, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Tuesday, what does Tuesday down here at Ferg's mean? It means $3 taco night and wash it down with an ice-picked vodka Champa Bay there. Obviously, we got plenty of action going on. I see a little softball action up on the Ferg's board right now. We obviously got the Rays playing the White Sox right now in the bottom of the first inning there. Shout out to Joe Geiger in the stands there, one of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, setting us up each and every Tuesday down here at Ferg's. I was out there on Sunday, got rained out there, had a little rain delay there with the Orioles there, but still cashed. I put up Gunnar Henderson for the patrons there. He makes a double in his second at bat there. Didn't get the homer there, but plenty of great action. Come on down, 13th and Central. Plenty of seats, plenty of TVs to sweat this out. And you want to come down, especially for this sweat, because I know Sammy's got one locked in for us. Looking forward to that 9 o'clock hour for our MLB best bet of the night there, Sammy. Why don't you tell the patrons a little bit about that bet that we circled later on tonight?
Yeah, Jose Altuve, a guy that we talked about actually last night and got to the window for us for over bases, or he had a hit. We both had him. Some exposure to him in the hit market, I think. But he, I think he's had a double in three straight games, and he's going up against a lefty here who he performs pretty well against. He's got three of his home runs come against lefties, but he has a very good history against Eduardo Rodriguez. He's got two home runs, 27 at-bats with a slugging of .630. He has nine hits in those 27 at-bats, so 3.33 batting average. I mean, just looking at his game log recently, he's got a double, like I said, in the last three. He's got three multi-hit games in the last six. And he's got more hits, obviously. He's Jose Altuve. He's got more hits than not this month. And what we like to see when you're betting on a batter and their props, you like to see their batting average and their slugging percentage go up as the month progresses. And that's exactly what's happening here with Jose Altuve. Arizona, hit or miss, whether it's a hitter's park or not, but it's definitely a park that can be got with home runs. And I think I saw him around 5-1. If you are in a state with FanDuel, you can get the Dinger Tuesday boost and get him up to around 8-1. So I would get in on Jose Altuve home run and either over bases or over hits, runs, RBIs.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I think that's a good one there. Obviously, he's on a hit streak there. I really like it. We circled him there. I was on. I circled yesterday on Stanton for the Yankees there. The only guy that really hurt me last night was Castro, who castrated me, as I've mentioned, to Sammy there. I think that would have been the big payday. Also, a shout-out to Sammy for his Matt Olson pick. That gave me a cash there as well. So just for the patrons there, I logged into Seminole Hard Rock there. I got over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs at -140. Put 1.5 units on that. And then obviously on the home run, I am looking for that long ball tonight. +575. That's a great number.
Oh, yeah.
Compare that to 175 that we were laying for Aaron Judge to lay an egg for us yesterday there. But really like that on that, Aaron, on that side. Sammy, why don't you just give a little tidbit? We're not going to hit on the full thing, but just your initial thoughts on college football, maybe a team that you have circled. Obviously, we'll hit it up at 7:45. But what's just a little tease for the patrons before we get into the golf action here?
Yeah, so like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm doing ACC and SEC previews, so those are the power conferences I'm digging into, along with the MAC and the Conference USA for the degenerates out there. But I've got a couple names circled for the ACC and the SEC, two teams I'm liking the most. I know you're going to cringe, but Clemson, if you can get them at plus money, I love them to win the ACC. And then Alabama, I think they return to the top.
I mean, first we open up. The Noles open up against Bama, obviously, week one up there in Tally and the Doak there. Really looking forward to that one. And then you throw Clemson. I mean, this was not scripted. I don't know if he's just trying to get a rise out of me.
I'm a South Carolina guy, so Clemson's my arch nemesis. But, you got to put the emotions aside when you see that plus money next to the odds.
Really looking forward to that. Sammy does a great write-up there on PicksWise as well. We'll give you all that tidbits in the newsletter tomorrow. He'll also hit you up on the socials there as well. But we were talking, let me close the door on the 153rd Open Championship. I would really love for Scottie Scheffler to pull a Hulk Hogan. This is what I really like. The American Dream, this type of thing. Everybody loves him. He goes out. He's this real star figure. And then what does he do, Sammy? He turns heel. He goes NWO. He just rips everybody's heart out. And what is that? I would love for him just to be like a throw out a Bible verse and just be like like Scotty 3:16, and just like he just whipped you and just go full heel, hopefully, in the next, and have that drama and that sort of thing. Go in likes of Wyndham Clark and just bash in Oakmont Golf Course. Just go out and win the U.S. Open next week and then just or next season and just go full heel there. I'd love to see that. But I think just like we need more bad guys. We need more villains. We need more drama on the PGA. I tried to wait out for Liv to be that thing, but can you think of a better script here? I mean, he tried to do it. He just didn't really lean into it. We already got Scotty the Jailbird, right? We already got him in street clothes.
Yeah.
We just need him to go back into that or something to happen. Obviously, joking aside, the guy is by far, and I'm happy when he's not in the field. And when he is in the field, I was telling Sammy, my brain just needs to correlate that 5-1 is five farms when you bet one farm, right? I think in that vein. But I would love for him to do that, get mad. I don't know what's going to happen there. But, yeah, that's my hot take. I think Scotty goes heel. He wins, and then he just starts hating golf, and people just start bashing him there. But I don't know. Other than that, you got to make it fun. But because you know what the opposite of fun is? Scotty with the four-shot lead going into Sunday. I promise you that's not too fun unless you're in that other market there. But talking about
it, it was a fun race for the winner without market, that's for sure. Yeah. That was the most dramatic of Sunday.
That's great. That's a great call, and we'll look into that market. And obviously, I would call that market the 3M Open because you know who's not playing this week? That'd be Scotty Scheffler. So why don't you take the patrons out on the patio this week there, Sammy, and patio preview this week, probably sponsored by Body Armor and Coca-Cola.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, the patio preview is on every Monday newsletter on thebetterclubhouse.com. www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Every Monday newsletter is free for all. So we would love for you to just simply subscribe. If you don't want to sub for paid sub right now, that's fine. We'll earn your trust. But if you just free sub for us, you'll get this Monday newsletter directly to your email for free. So you could read about every course in the rotation if interested. But yeah, TPC Twin Cities up in Minnesota here. I believe it's the seventh year they're running this event. And it's just your typical average PGA course. Your TPC course is not a Pete Dye design, but it does have a Florida-like feel. It's pretty flat. There's repetitive use of the same waters, a lot of water hazards, actually. And it's an easier putting surface course. It's a par 71, just over 7,400 yards, so pretty long. It's full field, top 65 in ties, make the cut. It's actually an Arnold Palmer design with bent grass greens that are a little bit larger than tour average. And they're going to be running faster than the last 2 weeks in Europe. But they're still PGA Tour average, around 12 on the cent meter. The rough hasn't typically been extremely long and penal here, but it was historically wet in June in Minnesota. And last year compared to previous years, the rough was up a little bit. So maybe they're trying to make it a little more difficult and getting that rough up. So keep an eye on that. But there's a lot of water. So about 70 bunkers here, water in play on 15 of those holes. And of three of the last 4 years, driver is used more than 70% of the time. So if you're accurate with that driver and you're in the fairway, you're going to have scoring opportunities. The winner here is anywhere from minus 15 to minus 24 in the last 4 years. So you need birdies to win here. You need to avoid the bogeys as much as possible. Driving accuracy, like I said, you need to be in those fairways and obviously not in the water. Being in the fairways just gives you better position to get into these greens and make those scoreable putts. The fairways are top 10 in width on tour. So unless you're really, really far off course, you should be good here. Greens in regulation, anywhere between 67% and 73.5% over the last 5 years played here. So if you're not hitting fairways, if you're not hitting greens, and you're not having a chance for birdie, you're not really going to be around all 4 days. These players are going to go for greens on some of these longer par fours and on these par fives. So go for green, hitting greens is going to have a higher rate here than tour average. So there's going to be aggressive play here. That's kind of what these creators want. They either want birdies or they want these players to blow up by hitting the water. So around the green, because of the greens and regulation percentage, the around the green is a little bit devalued here. So mainly shots gained approach, shots gained off the tee, driving accuracy, or total driving if you want some distance mixed into that accuracy. Greens and regulation, and then shots gained putting on bent grass is what I'm really looking at this week. Also, last thing here, this course is top 10 in penalty strokes on tour because of the water hazards. So it's really the main defense. The water is really the main defense. It's scoreable as long as you stay out of the water. And like I said, it's set up for birdies or blow-up holes, doubles or worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I think of the 3M Open, I call this the Tony Finau Open. This guy plays well all the time here and does that sort of thing. This is also the tournament where Matthew Wolf of Live Fame Now, if you want to call that, beat Bryson DeChambeau in a playoff here. I also remember that Cam Champ, a name that you've been bringing up there, Sammy, has won here before. And so that's just Ballmer birdies there. And then I also think back at when a guy – really, Scott Piercy had like a 4 or 5 shot lead, and then he ended up choking it down the stretch as well. Lee Hodges, another name that I've been throwing into the mix a lot, won here 2 years ago. And then another name that I was on that broke my heart at the Rocket Classic, that'd be Max Grazerman. Just came up just short here last year. One thing I will say is it's kind of up and down on this tournament. They've only played here 6 times. Odds have been kind of all over the board here. So they've only had one winner in that 0 to 25 range. Only happened 1 out of 6 times. We've had 3 winners in the 100-plus range happen here. So just things to mention there. And then also what I'll say is that 50% of the winners here had a miscut in their last chance there. So you don't need to be necessarily in the greatest form coming in. But what I will say, and this one I'm of interest very much, is that 5 of the last 6 winners here had finished in the top 12 in their last 4 starts. So you don't have to necessarily be at peak across the pond there. I am still kind of looking into that. I don't think a lot of these guys played across the pond. Obviously, we had Barracuda as well last week up there in the Reno, Tahoe area up there. So I think I would probably lean. I think that's probably my first question there, Sammy, is for the top of the board, obviously, we're looking at guys like Sam Burns, looking at I'm just pulling up the stats, the leaderboard here. So
Matt
Sam Burns,
McNeely's up there.
Yeah, so Sam Burns, Chris Goddard up, Matt McNeely, Wyndham Clark are probably the initial names up there. Obviously, Sam Burns playing the Open. Chris Goddard up. I think this guy's on the heater of all heaters here, Sammy. We need
he is.
We need to have him in the clubhouse. I'm curious to see, and that's one thing to take note, is that if you are looking at current form, most of these top-tier players like a Burns or Goddard up or Matt McNeely, their last 2 starts were over on those slow greens that Sammy was mentioning. I look at somebody like Wyndham Hotels Clark. This guy was terrible on the greens and terrible on approach stateside. The guy goes over across the pond there, and he finds the approach, and he finds a putter, right? So it's a question, will he come back, will he not? I think on those initial guys there, Sammy, I really like – I think – the biggest mystery for me is probably Chris Goddard. Can he carry that form over? And if he continues, I mean, this course should suit. This guy bombs it. He plays well. He scores. I mean, he's probably one that I'm definitely not having on my fade list there. Of those names I probably mentioned, the one I would probably circle as my biggest like question mark is probably that of Wyndham Clark, just because he did prove it overseas. But can he bring that back? I don't know. Well, of those like top 3-4 names there, what are your initial thoughts there? Either plus or minus on any of those guys there?
So I generally agree about Goddard. Him replicating the performance after cross-world travel on short rests. I mean, he went over there to play the Scottish Open and didn't expect to play the Open, but he qualified for the Open because of the win at the Scottish, and then he ends up keeping his sun running. And
even with that win, I'll even add on to that, Sammy. It's hard to cut you off there, but even that Scottish win, that's a signature event, right? And I think, or it's a major event, so I think that even gets him all the way in to like pretty much securing his card and being good and set for the regular, even for the year, probably into the tour championship. This guy has already like set his schedule. I think that like either lifts that weight off of him, but now he's got the chance to even be even like. Can he like even go into like another elite level, right? He has that opportunity now. Is that, and it's like one of those other things, like you get the opportunity, are you going to feast or famine? Are you going to boom or bust? I don't know. It's a big question mark. I'm curious to see. I would probably just fade whatever the popular opinion is. If people thinking to do it, I'd probably stay off of it and be on it. What are your thoughts on somebody like Sam Burns? I think that was a name that we really liked. You had him picked a couple weeks ago as well. I really liked him. What are your thoughts just on like a name like Sam Burns?
I think Sam Burns sets up pretty well for this course. I mean, the driver's been pretty good for the most part recently. The irons have seemingly come back. He's been gaining pretty decent amounts in 4 of the last 6 here. He was even in 1, and he lost in 1 at the Scottish. The putter, obviously, he's one of the best, if not the best putter on tour pretty consistently. The issue with him, I guess, from a betting perspective and a DFS perspective, is the price. I mean, despite everything I just said about Sam Burns, you don't really usually get him at 20-1 or less, so you don't have to pay $10,500 for him on DraftKings. So that's my issue. I mean, is he going to have all of these aspects together functioning for four rounds? Is he going to miss the 5-foot putt that would win him the tournament on Sunday that he usually makes? I mean, those are the questions that I have about Sam Burns. It's all price conscious. But at the top of the board there, I would assume that everybody feels similarly as we do with Goddard, and that it can't really continue, especially with the travel, and that they expect him to regress. But like you said, his schedule's made up. So at least in DFS, maybe I would pay the $10,000 for Goddard, knowing that there's value down the board given the field, and try to get different with my lineups that way, because for the most part, I think most of the field is going to pass by the $10,000 range and these top three, four guys that we talked about.
No, I agree with you, and I'll give my thoughts on Sam Burns here. But first, I got to let the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Berg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field, downtown St. Pete, each and every Tuesday from 7 to 8 o'clock. This is the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Check us out on Spotify as well if you want to hear past episodes there. If you like this, obviously we're going to do a lot more sports, not just golf there as well. Looking forward to NFL, college football, obviously baseball. We're trying to throw out some matchups there. If you're just tuning in, Jose Altuve is our bet of the night there. Home run, over bases, hits, all that good stuff. Lock that in, 9:40. And obviously you can watch it for free on MLB.com, but do even better and come on down to Ferg's. Get yourself some $3 tacos and a Champa Bay from our great sponsor at Ice Pick Vodka. But just talking to Sammy here about the 3M Open there, my thoughts, here's my problem with fading Sam Burns. One, Scottie Scheffler, betting favorite, wins. Ryan Gerard, betting favorite, wins. Sam Burns, betting favorite, things happen in threes. I mean, I'm a big numbers guy, so there's that. But the thing here is here, Sammy, my number one comp course that I think winners come from that play well here is a Sam Burns favorite. And it's also a St. Pete favorite. It's also a Florida favorite. And that's Innisbrook Resort up there at the Valspar Championship. When I look there, two wins there. His last four starts, 7, 12, 32 up there as well. Also, Sammy, nine of his 12 rounds at the TPC Twin Cities are in the 60s with a low of 64. So maybe you don't want to bet that 18-1 there, but a first-round leader, I think there.
Yeah.
Obviously, his approach is right there, three of the last four gaining there. He's a little trouble right now around the green, but as you mentioned there, probably not as concerned there. If you want to hear all those stats and more, check out our player deep dives. We're going to release that right after the show tonight. Subscribe to www.thebetterclubhouse.com. We got our stats rank, we got our form, we got our insights, and obviously we let you know about his results here. We even let you know how many rounds they have in the 60s around the TPC Twin Cities there. Sammy, does your fade of the week come from the top of the board, or are you trying to figure out another name there as we try to circle the top of the board before we get into the meat of the names there?
It's more the middle of the board that I think my fade of the week is going to be, but I wanted to circle back on Sam Burns.
Yeah.
I was looking while you were talking there. If you can get him plus or top 10, like plus 175 or better, I think that's a look if you want to do the parlay and maybe take somebody top 20 with the top 10. Some books allow that, some books don't. But I think the plus money, especially close to 2-1, on Sam Burns, maybe you could use a boost to get it above 2-1. I think that's like playing that like upslide floor mix, if you will. I think that's a really good look on Sam Burns.
Sammy, here's a tidbit that I haven't even told you, and I'm just telling the patrons for the first time. Masters, 46. What did he do the week after? T13. What did he do at PGA Championship? T19. What did he do the week after? He did T12 at Memorial. What does he do at the U.S. Open? T7. Obviously, we know that meltdown on Sunday. Doesn't get it done. J.J. Spahn, hell of a putt. What does he do? How does he back up that devastation there? T17 the next week. So T45.
And these are better fields.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And T45 at the Open, didn't really there, but we still gained off the tee. We still gained on approach. Putter wasn't there, but it's been gaining. It's got like 15 straight prior to last week. This is not the week to – I wouldn't fade. Definitely not fading Sam Burns and up there. And I do think – I mean, where he's looking for a first win, obviously he's peppered that top of the board. And anytime I see that first comp course is somebody that they really like, I would circle Sam Burns. I'm not going to say if he's your only pick of the week there, but I definitely can't sway you away from going to the top of the board. And then it's an easy game to pick, right, Sammy? I mean, two of the last betting favorites win. Obviously easy to do there, but and we'll have
for what it's worth, I did a putting model this week in addition to my normal model, my early model, my course comp model. And Sam Burns, number one on the season in putting, number two on the season on bent grass, and number four from 10 to 15 feet on bent grass. And obviously, he avoids three putts last 24 rounds and on the season at a top 10 rate. So when you're looking at putting, if he lost last week on the greens, he's going to bounce back, especially on surfaces he's good with.
And this is where I say, not so fast, my friend, Sammy. Because why? Because Sam Burns is not in my top 10 model for this week. So as much as I love Sam Burns, I will not be betting Sam Burns there.
Love that.
I have faded my – if you're not looking at my top 10 for each week, obviously we had the – we had all four majors have come from my top 10. We had a fourth at the Barracuda there. Over 50% of my model has either finished winner or runner-up this season. Over 30% of winners have come from my top 10. And right now for the patrons, my top 10 includes Kevin Roy, Alex Smalley, Lee Hodges, one of the winners here at the 3M Open there. Kurt Kitayama was right up there, had a great chance. It actually has a name I'm circling. I'm curious to get Sammy's thoughts on Kurt Kitayama this week. Another guy who loves Innisbrook. He's the first-round leader. I don't know if I can bet him, but I'm kind of vibing on this guy, even though he's probably going to put up a snowman on Sunday. That's one Killa Keith Mitchell up there as well. TPC God, we call him. Siwoo Kim up there. Another popular name this week would be Jake. Got the best forearms in the business, Knapp, up there as well. We're talking about Hulk Hogan. You talk about Jake Knapp, that's probably the closest Hulk Hogan for pythons there. And then we got Thorbjørn Olesen up there. Not the same Olesen who led after first round, even though that was like Jacob Slav. This one's Thorbjørn Thunder Bear up there as well. A name that I really liked last week, Miscut, but this guy's going to eat this week. That would be the left-hander Matt McCarty. I'm definitely looking at that name circling. And then a guy who I can't still – if anybody in the patrons out there – wants to tell me that they got a better read on this guy, I would love to know if I should bet him or not. And if you get it right, you let me know. And that would be Mark Hubbard. I mean, this guy puts up plenty of stats, but he just can't cash it in. And then this is another course where I think a first round – I told Sammy, I think this is a great course for a first-time winner there. I think there's a lot of big numbers. I don't think that you really need to – it's a birdie fest. It's pretty easy. I would almost call it like a Corn Ferry event almost and that type of thing there. But that's my top 10. Obviously, if you missed those names there, I'll put it in the newsletter for tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe. Check out all our stuff there at www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sammy, any of those names pop for you there from the top of the board there?
Yep. My two favorite names of the 10 you mentioned are Kevin Roy, I think going back to the well, and then Jake Knapp.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Roy, I mean, people are either going to love him or hate him. I mean, if you were listening to our player deep dives, I said to get off the GOAT train prior to the ISCO. What does he do? He almost finishes DFL there on that one. I think the tea leaves are really working well on the Roy GOAT right now. If I take a look right into our player deep dives, I know we've already looked at Kevin Roy there as well. So when I scroll down on his name, obviously in alphabetical order there, so you're going to have to be a subscribe just to see the full list there. But he's got a 12 on a comp course. He's only played this course once, miscut there, but, I mean, 4 out of 4 gains off the tee, 3 out of 4 approach, 2 out of 4 there. Top 75, Sammy, top 75 in stats this season on the PGA Tour, excluding putting, which is 93rd, and birdies are better from 175, 200, one of the buckets that I have. Top 75. Yep. We're talking, I mean, the only crazy robot human of a golf swing would be Scottie Scheffler, and he's like top 50. But you can go – I usually put a cutoff at top 20, 125, but top 75 is insane. And you know what's also insane, Sammy? 80-1 on Mr. Kevin Roy. I think everybody's off the snit, off the sniff of there. Obviously, when we were on it, he finished 8th and 3rd right there. We know the John Deere, what happened there. I love to get back right back on that Roy train this week. There, I even love it for top 20 there, Sammy. I love that Kevin Roy nod there.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement on Kevin Roy. It would really hurt to be on him at the Rocket and the John Deere where he had top 10s. He gained across the board at John Deere. I would say TPC Deer Run is like a secondary comp course to this course. Mm-hmm. So, so is Detroit. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense if the community is off. Then I like it even more, and obviously you can do much worse than on various bets at 80-1. I mean, you got to have like a 10-leg parlay to get 80-1 in some sports. Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll probably take that with some sort of each way.
Okay.
I don't know about the three places. Maybe I'll do top five places or top eight places, but should still get, 65 or better on eight places. I still think that's a great shout.
Yeah, I mean, especially with my bets. My bets will get you to Sunday. We'll get a late tee time. We'll feel good. And then about back nine, you're like, man, I wish I had that each way. I wish I had that each way in the playoff. I wish I had the each way with Roy at John Deere. I wish we had the each way with Matt Fitzpatrick last week. On and so forth. Been a fun month. But I do think that, and I do like Kevin Roy there. Sammy, anybody, what are your thoughts? And this is a name that's very popular. I said he was going to get his win at the Rocket and actually at ISCO as well. Michael Thor Bjornsson, I call him Young Thor there as well. Definitely popping for a lot of guys. 14, 21, 4, 41, last four. He had a 66 and then followed up with a 77 here last year. Kind of curious there. He does have a 4 on a comp course there. Any thoughts on Young Thor at 35-1? I know he's kind of been betting the market all the way down to the 25 there. A lot of people like him. He actually reminds me of a Matt Wolf. He actually reminds me of a Cam Champ there as well. We'll see. Obviously, he's got Colin Morikawa's caddy on him. He's getting the results there. Is this the week that you're kind of penciling him in? And even for your one-and-done selection, he's still out there. Is a name that you kind of like to expectations this week for somebody under 30-1 there, Sammy? Is that a name that you're liking?
Yeah, at under 30-1, I might feel like I missed the boat. I think his distance, when you're looking at off the tee and total driving, I would say his distance is better than accuracy, which might be my concern. His three putt avoidance last 24 rounds is outside the top 80. The wedge game, if he's driving like really far and he's less than 100 from the green, those wedges aren't the best thing for him. He's also a little bit struggling on par threes the last 24 rounds. But I'm nitpicking. He's got some great numbers across the board on the shots gained off the tee stuff. And I kind of got a little granular with my model this week. And shots gained off the tee with on the season with high water danger like this course, he's outside the top 70. So that's my concern. But I think, the form is really good. Like you said, a 4th, a 21st, and a 14th in his last four rounds, all kind of different, like scoreable courses. You know he's got it in him. He gained more than 5 strokes at Rocket on the greens. He gained more than 2 strokes on the greens at ISCO. I think this is, just one of those types of courses that Michael Thor Bjornsson can win. And if I had to pick somebody that was the chalky of the week towards like the middle of the pack, I think it would be him for sure, especially if I could get around 35 in some way.
Sounds good. I'm also going to ask Sammy about one of his favorite homosexuals here after the break there. We'll have to figure out if he thinks that he's going to be on there, also get his one and done and fate of the week there as well. But before we do that, I have to let all the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, downtown St. Pete, and also streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Dreams channel. Check us out this show on www.thebetterclubhouse.com, betterclubhouse.com. Check out all our newsletters there. And also check out our other shows. Obviously, we got this show on Tuesdays, Take a Break tomorrow. Then we got Hack Nation with Mike Rickard there and Bill Butner and John Rager there. Looking forward to Happy Gilmore 2 there, Sammy, releasing on Friday.
Yes.
We got Happy Gilmore 2 there. We got a watch party down at Ferg's. Come on down and join us on the big Jumbotron. Love Island's been shipped out of here. Get that one out of here. We're pulling in Happy Gilmore.
Get it out of here.
I know. We got to do that, Sammy. We got to get some real muscle in here, really gearing up for the season. With Billy Madison, we got plenty of giveaway swag, doing all that good stuff there. Check us out there on onthetfloridagolf.com for all that great info there. Come on down to Ferg's on Friday. Also, check out Saturday, our flagship there with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. So, Sammy, without further ado there, give the patrons their what are your thoughts on Max Homa? Obviously, he played well at the John Deere final group there. Everybody was vibing right there. One shot out of lead. Thought he might get there. Obviously, if you didn't check it out at Barracuda, T43 is not going to give much inspiration there. I was telling Sammy off the track there. Is it a I think this week really sums up. Are you looking at the stats or are you trying to play narrative? If you're planning to play narrative street there, Tony Finau checks the box. I think Max Homa checks the box. I think there are a lot of guys that people want to see succeed there. Maybe it is Michael Thorbjornsson there is kind of a, man, this guy should win, but will he type of thing. But from a pure bias on wanting and somebody who loves to bet Max Homa and loves to see this 50-1 number next to him, are you betting? Are you going to put the patrons on him or off him this week? I know you already did the deep dive, but just give the patrons a little taste of your thoughts on Max Homa this week.
Yeah, look, I Max Homa is one of my favorite players. I think he's a clubhouse favorite. He cashed multiple tickets for us in 22 and 23, but as sad as it is, I think that Max is gone or waiting to come back still. I mean, it was awesome to see him perform well at the John Deere, but when it comes down to it, the pressure was on Sunday, and he didn't live up to it. He lost a half stroke to the field and after having a really good first three rounds. And then, like you said, top 45 at the Barracuda, that's not exactly reassuring. So, I mean, again, it was great to see him play well at the John Deere as a fan. It was his first top 10, I think, since the Wells Fargo and the Masters last year.
Yeah.
So over a year.
Yeah.
It was only his second top 20 of the season. He has 7 missed cuts on the year.
Sammy, the patrons want to know, is this your fade of the week? Are you going opposite? Are you pulling full heel on Homa this week?
At 50-1, just considering the form, I would want like more like 80 or 100. He's not my fade of the week. But I think the other guy you mentioned, the other narrative guy you mentioned, might be the fade of the week this week.
Who's that for you?
Tony Finau.
Okay. I don't manage that as well. Obviously, in the deep dive there, Max Homa's got terrible stats. I mean, they're ugly, fellas.
Yeah.
I mean, patrons there, they're just ugly. You will not see me bet Max Homa. That's a narrative street, obviously. I don't think they're – and the question is for the patron, what is that number, right? And when you see that BOGO at Publix, what's that thing that you really have to have, right, that you have to see in order to buy it? $3 tacos? Give me all the tacos at Ferg's. You know, once you set that price, it'll be a great number. I'm all in. As you mentioned, for Scotty Scheffler, anything 5-1 and higher, let's just buy, right? No matter the outcome there. Obviously, at 40-1 there for Tony Finau, your fade of the week. If I'm circling a fade of the week at the top of the board, I was circling it there. I'm going to say you, Chris Goddard. I don't think the heater
lasts
there. That
was my second choice.
And that's who I'm putting my money on. If you put money on Chris Goddard, hit us up on the socials at the Better Clubhouse there, either on X, Instagram, or Thread. Show us that you put money on him. And I'll tell you what, if he wins there, whatever that dollar amount trickles down as far as that subscription into our Substack there, you'll get it back. I'm happy to give you any information there for the rest of the year there based on that if you're betting Chris Goddard up there. I don't see it there. And Sammy, if we flip the page there, who's going to be your one and done selection there? Sammy did have Bobby Mack to my John Rahm, even though John Rahm was on Sammy's ticket, so I'm sure he's not too happy that I won that week. Last week there, I did hit with Kurt Kitayama last week against your Max Homa there. One and done selection for the 3M Open. Who you got there, Sammy?
I've been tossing back and forth on this one, and I know you put the list in here. I think I'm going to go Max Grazerman.
Good pick. I mean, I think the guy's willing to win. Max Grazerman did not have the strongest last two starts. I think those were great to, like, get the rust off of that tough playoff loss that I keep playing over and over in my head. I know, Sammy, you were on it late as well. I think it's a great spot. First-time winner. Obviously, I think a lot of people are going to be on him next week when he had that heater. He was up, like, 6 strokes with, like, 4 shots to play at the Wyndham Championship when Aaron Rye snuck it from him, also known as Matt Kuchar, taking the last hole off and just being an a-hole for the rest of them next week. I think it's a great week to jump on Max Grazerman there. He actually might be a bet this week. Looking forward to that. Solid pick there.
You used him already.
I know. Solid pick
there. You made like $600,000 on me, $700,000.
And the way the season's gone, you're going to get a win and even outdo that on me. So, I mean, that's just how it goes here. So go ahead and bet on Max Grazerman there. The other Max, look at that. I think Sammy just likes the word Max, I think. I mean, this guy.
I think so.
And doing that. Girls, if Max Grazerman wins, you're not getting a dog named Max. I don't bet. We're not going to do that unless we get a bet slip. We'll have to figure that one out. For me, Looking at the top of the board, looking at there, oh, man, names to choose. I'm going to go with, and I'm just going to make sure I haven't selected him already, which I don't think I have there, Sammy, and that would be Mr. Sam Burns. Top of the board there.
Oh, perfect.
Looking at that, haven't actually, I used him at the Heritage, so strike that quick. I'll give people another name. I do like that name. He's not in my top 10. So he's like, Champ, why aren't you picking somebody from your top 10? That's a great call. Kevin Roy. That's the name, Sammy. That's the name to circle there. I don't care about odds. If you're going to get him at 81, do it. Kevin Roy, put that in the bank there. And the fade of the week for me, I really like Tony Finau fade. That's actually a great fade there. But obviously Chris Goddard is who I'm going there. So that kind of sums up the 3M Open. If you want to see our other bets there, and looking forward to it. Obviously, my name, Sammy, that I'm really looking forward to and probably a name I'm going to bet is there is Taylor Pendrith. I think this guy pounds the ball. He's the birdie maker. 35-1 is a good one there. I really like that. Also a known winner. That's something that Max Grazerman hasn't shown, something that Michael Thor Bjornsson hasn't shown. Obviously, Jake Knapp, I may just for old time's sake, so a first-round leader, I'll probably do that. But that's another name. Bomber on this course kind of checks that box there as well. So if you want to see the final names that we put our bets in, and also subscribe to check out our player deep dives, you'll get the top three in the odds board there, or three top three names that we find popular in our market and community. You get those for free. If you like those, hit us up. Obviously, if there's another name that you're curious about, we got 18 circled this week, including all of my top 10 there. But that's www.thebetterclubhouse.com, B-E-T-T-O-R, on that one. Sammy, as we do this, you want to hit us up? You got one more minute, and then we'll do a roundtable just for the gridiron for those ones that have stuck around here.
So I usually give out a top 20 on the show, and this week I'm swimming around the same waters that I was last week with Hideki, around 3-1 for top 20. But this week it's not Hideki Matsuyama. It's Vince Whaley, actually. He's gaining pretty decent amounts, tee to green, four straight gains on approach. The putting, hit or miss, but when he hits, it's usually a spike round. He was top four at the ISCO, so at 3-1 for a top 20, I think Vince Whaley might end up on the card.
No, I like that. He was very hot last week. Didn't put the full four rounds together. Similar, his brother might be Chris Ventura, who I bet on. He does 3 out of 4 good rounds almost every single week. And I'm just looking at the odds board, a lot of 80-1, 60-1, 70-1 in my top 10. Might be worth just a sprinkle this week on those type of guys on a course that we've kind of seen big numbers. Don't be afraid to get away from that top of the board. Also, it is golf, so don't – I mean, Matt McNeely's been playing great golf, Sam Burns. Those are team names that I would expect for you to battle up against on the back nine there. But check us out, www.thebetterclubhouse.com, to see our final bets and all that good stuff as well. Sammy, without further ado there, I think Patron's been probably, I mean, golf is kind of like winding down in a way, obviously major season and that sort of thing. We're about to flip the calendar to August. As I mentioned on opening the show, Baker Mayfield, first day of camp for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today or yesterday on that. They're looking forward to everybody getting into camp and that sort of thing. I'm sure everybody's getting ready. If you haven't figured out your fantasy draft order yet, doing all sorts of crazy stuff for that and all that sort of things. Just looking at the NFL, I had this debate with a coworker. I'm just curious, and this is without any kind of research, just a general ideas, and we'll probably be putting this into the clubhouse rotation in our newsletters as well. It's the hardest division that you kind of see on the NFL side. I think my buddy and the coworker said the NFC East thought expected to be pretty tough. Obviously, Philadelphia Eagles, defending champs coming in. Obviously, the Commanders, very hot coming in, adding some great talent there. We know what the Dallas Cowboys can do, can't do. Obviously, the Giants holding them down up there. Obviously, you're looking at the NFC South, definitely not the strongest, probably the weakest with the Saints. Thank you very much. The Saints is going to be Hude in the bottom, probably last in the league this year is going to be Hude down there in the bottom there. I think it's going to be between our two teams here, Sammy, me versus you there, Carolina Panthers. Looking forward to that matchup on December 21st. See if the Bucs can retain the title of the NFC South champs there as well. I don't give Atlanta it's probably a three-team race there as well. I actually probably favor Carolina over Atlanta just based on their history there. But I think the Bucs, if they can stay healthy, they're curious there. But just generally, those are kind of my thoughts there. Obviously, you can go AFC East with the Patriots being there, see what the Jets can do. I think AFC West is also getting consideration. Obviously, the Chiefs, Chargers up there making a push up there. The Raiders might be able to do something there as well. Just curious, and the Broncos obviously are very strong as well there. I think that's generally the consensus that I'm seeing is that AFC West. I'm just curious from your perspective, if you had to pick out one division, are you going your AFC North for your Brownies up there as well?
It's not because of the Browns. It is definitely because of the Ravens, and I expect the Bengals to bounce back, at least offensively. I expect Joe Burrow to be better. Chase got his contract figured out. Higgins is locked up. Chase Brown looked really good. So if the offensive line can just keep Joe upright, I think the Bengals are going to be in the playoff hunt. The Browns, you know, the schedule is nearly impossible. I mean, for what we have to deal with, I'm not really I would rather the Browns just have a top five pick again next year and then make a run at it. The Steelers, we'll see. I expect them to run the ball pretty well, but the offense might be one of the worst in the league. But the Ravens, I mean, them and the Bills, probably my Super Bowl favorites right now. As far as worst conference,
hey, Sammy, before you go into that, I just had to research into ChatGPT just to keep us honest here. There's definitely a division I left out, and I'm curious.
AFC North.
Ding, ding, ding. If I had a check mark, if I had to do that, AFC North ranked number two, AFC West number three. Number one is NFC North. The Lions, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears even coming up a little bit there. So that was ChatGPT there. I'm curious, and you were going worse there. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, on which one do you think would be the worst coming into 2025?
I think the South, the AFC South. You mentioned the NFC South. I think the Panthers maybe taking a step up this year would give the AFC South the worst division in the league. Just the Titans, maybe another number one pick coming for them. The Colts, who knows what's going on with the quarterback situation. I mean, it's Richardson or it's Danny Dimes, and neither one of those guys know how to take care of the football. I do think the Texans probably are the prohibitive favorites there. I expect the Jaguars to be a little bit better. I'm not sure about the team as a whole, but Trevor Lawrence is one of the better quarterbacks in the league when he's given time and he's got some weapons around him. I know he's a Clemson guy, but I do have faith in him being at least a serviceable quarterback. But all in, I would say it's between the AFC South, the NFC South. Maybe my upbringing in the AFC territory gives me the lean towards the AFC South, but that's probably the way I would go. I think all those defenses in the AFC South leave a bit to be desired.
Sammy, this is why you're the king of the each way. So I just put it in ChatGPT as well. AFC South, number two.
Nice.
The only reason they're number two right now is they give a better QB play versus the last team.
Sure.
They do recognize Lawrence, Stroud, and Levis there. And they give an edge over, drum roll, that is actually NFC South on that for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They say that weak QB play and no elite contender there, as they think the Bucs down here overachieved in 2024, which I agree by hard there. Obviously, beating the Lions there is our claim to fame there, and also beating the Eagles at home as well. Love those two great wins, but expectations should be tempered there. Still developing a Bryce Young up there as well. Saints we know about, and Falcons they say are talented, but they're not sure about the QB situation. Dominant team there. So, I mean, that's just ChatGPT just to keep the patrons. You can get all that information on ChatGPT, but what you can't get is you can't get our stats. You can't get our models, our thoughts. Obviously, we got the pulse of the NFL. Really looking forward to it. It wouldn't be without Sammy if I didn't win my fantasy league there. Obviously, having Jalen Hurts as my quarterback there, and also we're going to be looking into fantasy. We're going to be doing some over-under on team totals there.
Yep.
Really into the prop market. I love anytime touchdown on my side, trying to get a parlay working on there. Sammy, what's your favorite NFL bet just going into on Sundays? What is something that you line up? You like the totals? You like a money line parlay? What are things that you really enjoy on NFL Sundays?
I definitely attack spread and money line the most. NFL player props, I mean, touchdowns are fun, but I don't. It's very warm and cold on how I perform on those. One like really exotic market that I do look at for all the primetime games, especially between two very good teams, is first score of the game to be a field goal.
Oh.
And usually you could get that between plus 125 and plus 150. And when I tell, it's very exotic, it's very weird. It's usually only on DraftKings. But if you could get that market, definitely tune into the Better Clubhouse during football season, because that is a market I have looked into now for two or three seasons, and it's one that I'm definitely hitting like 55-60% with the plus money.
And I really love that, obviously, in college football championship playoff games as well. I think that first score, especially with two defenses there, a lot of expectations. Yep. They usually drive the ball but stall out in the red zone there. So plenty of tidbits. Just trying to give the patrons just a little tidbit of the information that you're going to get into the fall year. Obviously, golf still rolling on, still looking to hit that big payday with the big number there. Sammy, if they want to hear any of your stuff, where can they find you at to see models, if they want to debate you on the worst and best topic there and anything else that you might have on Pickwise there, where can the patrons hit you up at?
Yeah, so first and foremost, it's always going to be on Twitter/X at SammyHaveBets. I'll be more active on Threads and Instagram through the Better Clubhouse. I'll make sure to share my stuff in those places specifically. We'll have to think of another medium. Maybe we'll do YouTube shorts or something during football season and get some video going. But yeah, those are the primary spots right now.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And catch myself on X at Champs311. Obviously, catch us both on an Instagram as well at Champs311. Obviously, catch us both at www.thebetterclubhouse, B-E-T-T-O-R, betterclubhouse.com. Shout out to Zach for subscribing during the show. Really appreciate
that.
Love the support there, getting us over there. Any support there, hit us up on the socials there. Really looking forward to growing this community there. And also there, shout out to Sammy joining us each and every Tuesday there. And for that, I'm gonna let everybody know that you've been listening to the Better Clubhouse Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th hole clubhouse studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Sammy Sharps, for RadioSaintPete.com's Joe Berdow, and the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, Mike Rickard, thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.